Tomorrow's going to be a very special day. It's a day before Mother's Day. In a certain sense, we can say it is going to be our Mother's Day. Because there's two times we celebrate Mother's Day, and that'll be our natural mothers. We celebrate that this coming Sunday. But also we have our Heavenly Mother. And Heavenly Mother is Mary. So tomorrow, we're going to have a very special Mass. And that's going to be 11:30. We want you to come. Okay, it'll be $10, please. Okay. We want you to show up a half hour early so you're not rushing into the last moment. So we're going to have a Mass of consecration of Jesus to Jesus through Mary. So I really hope that all of you are going to take this seriously. We've been giving you meditations to follow. Hope we've been trying to do the meditations on a daily basis. And we'll get one more today. Really, this this program that we're giving you is basically a truncated, which means it's cut in half because of lack of time. But at least it's a start. I think it's a good idea to consecrate yourself to Mary on a yearly basis. I made my first consecration in the year 1976. Where were you? Probably not even born yet, right? But from that moment on, I wanted to become a priest, really strong, no? So I attribute my vocation to the oblates, to the intercession of Mary, and my consecration of Mary. No? So I really consider this to be a very important step in our lives. No? Give yourself to Jesus through Mary. The ceremony tomorrow is not going to be complicated. It'll be a normal Mass. But then, after the message given by the priest, it'll be me and Father Larry, we can't celebrate in this Mass, then you'll be saying a consecration prayer. Now, there are many consecration prayers that you can you use. The longest and the most beautiful is by St. Louis de Montfort, but it's very, very long. And so talking to Father Larry, I decided that we'll use the shorter one, and it's the one that I usually give out. Very often I give it out. I've got a pile of them in my confessional. It's the one by Maximilian Kolbe, a very short one, that we say at the end of the class. So you're going to be saying that act of consecration, and then from there we will be giving you the exterior sign of your consecration to Mary, which would be the scapular. This is a scapular, okay? Now, if you already have a scapular, well, you got a second one, okay? Well, you'll have one you can keep once you probably wash it every month anyway, if not earlier, if you play sports, okay? So wear the scapular. Okay? So placing the scapular on you is an external sign that you belong to Mary. There are many scapulars. This is the scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Okay? There's a green scapular, there's a red scapular, there are many different types. But this is the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. When Our Lady appeared in Fatima, she said that she wanted all people to wear the brown scapular. We're going to be giving you a scapular, which is going to be kind of nice, but I kind of like this. You don't have to have the picture on it. Probably many of you have scapular where you actually have the picture on it, right? The picture kind of sewed in it, which is, yeah, okay, you got it there, which is a really nice one. This one doesn't have it, but it's very durable because ever since I was small, I've been very athletic, and I have a tendency to break things because if you're hitting a baseball, you're swimming or running cross country or swimming, something like that, it's easy to rip these apart. But this is strong. It's actually a shoelace. So it's not going to win the award for aesthetic beauty, but for pragmatic purposes, I'd give it at least an A minus. Okay? Strong. And inside, want to touch it? What do you feel? So I actually have, my mother actually sewed within it two medals. Did you ever hear the Medal of St. Benedict? That's a medal, especially a medal to protect us against the attacks of the devil. So if you ever go to an exorcism, maybe you will one day, you're invoking the name of Jesus, Mary, St. Joseph, St. Michael the Archangel, and St. Benedict. He's a very powerful patron against the attacks of the devil. And the other medal they have is called the Miraculous Medal. But the formal name would be the Medal of the Immaculate Conception. Do any of you know where that came from? Carla, no? Didn't think so. Okay, it came from an apparition to a saint in the year 1830, and it occurred to the saint, her name was Catherine Laboure, parlez-vous français, in Rudebach, and Rudebach would be a city in Paris, and it's one of the most charming approved apparitions. You have this nun that's, she's in bed at night, and middle of the night, someone goes into the room and touches her and says, get up and go into the chapel, and it was her guardian angel. It woke her up. So she gets dressed, and she rushes into the chapel in Paris, in Rudebach, and who was sitting there in the presidential chair, that's the chair of the priest, who was sitting there was the Blessed Mother. And she said to this nun, and she was standing there at the door, wow, am I seeing something? Is this a vision? It's Mary sitting in the chair, priest chair, and she goes like this, come closer, closer, come closer, come closer, closer. So she's getting closer and closer and closer, and she kneels down. And I think in the history of approved Marian apparition, it's the only time when someone actually touches the Blessed Mother. Because in Fatima, she's in the Om tree, right? In Guadalupe, she's up there. As well as Lourdes, she's in the grotto, right? Whereas this one, she actually comes and falls down and puts her hands in the lap of the Blessed Mother. And they have a wonderful conversation. That's the purpose of your consecration. You want to be able to talk to Mary as freely as this nun. And it's just trust in Mary's love for you. Talk to Mary about what's going on in your life. Tell Mary your dreams, your visions, your struggles, your successes, your failures, your aspirations, everything that's going on in your heart. Open up and talk to Mary the way this nun did. So she went back to her room, and then Mary appears to her a second time, and this time she says, I want you to have made this medal. And the medal was the medal of the Immaculate Conception. And if you've ever studied the medal, I think it's one of the best graphic images, graphic catechetical images of Mary you have. So on the front side, what do you have? You have, it's oval. You know what oval is, right? It's kind of circular, oval. Around the exterior part, you have got some words. And they are, O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us, have recourse to thee. And that refers to the Immaculate Conception. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us. And then you see Mary standing up. Now, most of you, when you're brought up and raised, you're brought up and raised with Our Lady of Guadalupe, right? Myself, being brought up and raised in an Anglo-Caucasian family on the East Coast, I didn't know anything about Our Lady of Guadalupe. But I was brought up with this image. It's called Our Lady of Grace. We always saw the statue of Mary standing up, and she's crushing the serpent with her foot. I was brought up, I remember I was 4 years old seeing this big, for me it was a big statue, it was only maybe this high, but I was smaller than that, no? And seeing her foot standing on the head of this serpent that had an apple in his mouth, no? And that's the image of Mary in the middle. It's called Our Lady of Grace. So she's opening up her hands, and from her hands is emanating these rays. And these rays are grace. And what is grace? Grace is participation in the life of God. What is the grace of all graces? To die in the state of grace. Okay, the grace of all graces is to die in the state of grace. Because you die in the state of grace, you're going to go to heaven. So Mary, the full of grace, wants to constantly help us to fill our hearts with grace. Right, Andrea? So if we die like that, we're going to go to heaven. We might have to go to purgatory. You go to purgatory, I mean, you made it. Then you have Mary standing on a globe, and she's stepping on the head of the serpent. You know, that refers to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, which is called the Proto-Evangelium. What that means? It's the first announcement of the gospel. Remember the words, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her offspring and yours, and she will crush your head. So the head of the enemy, the devil, will be crushed through the intercession of Mary. And St. Louis de Montfort says we have to be the heel of Mary. The heel of Mary to be able to crush. Did I scare you? So we have to be the heel of Mary. We have to crush the ugly head of the serpent. So there you have the first part of the medal. Then you flip it on the other side. What do you have? You have 12 stars. Yeah. 12 stars. That refers to Mary as queen. And refers to 12 stars, refers to Apocalypse chapter 12, verse 1. You know what that is? Apocalypse chapter 12, verse 1. John?
There a sign appeared in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, and on her head a crown of 12 stars.
Perfect.
And the moon under her feet.
Yep. Can you say it again?
There appeared a sign in the sky, a woman clothed with the sun, on her head a crown of 12 stars, and the moon under her feet.
Perfect. Now, when you're defending the rosary, actually, that's the fourth and fifth glorious mystery. Because the people attack us saying that, where is the rosary in the Bible? That's the most implicit. It's not as clear. But if you go through those words that you just said, when you have the woman clothed with the sun, that's the Assumption of Mary. So with the stars over her head, it's obviously a queen, right? So there you have the fourth and fifth glorious mystery in that one verse. What do you think? So if you want to defend Mary and the rosary, that one verse, you got the last two mysteries of the rosary. The others are explicitly present. All the others are present. Where do you find the joyful mysteries? Luke chapter 1 and 2, five joyful mysteries. Luminous mysteries, the baptism of the Lord, you got in Mark 1, you got the baptism, John chapter 2, 1 to 12, you got the wedding feast of Cana. Proclamation of the kingdom is the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And then the transfiguration will be Matthew chapter 17. Institution of the Eucharist, the prophetic announcement will be John chapter 6, the bread of life discourse. And then Matthew 26 to 28. And 26 to 28, institution of the Eucharist. So there, and then what about the sorrowful mysteries? Matthew 26, 27. And how about the first and second glorious mystery? Okay, be Matthew 28. You got Mark 16. Luke 24. And where do you find the descent of the Holy Spirit? The ascension you find in Acts 1, but also the descent of the Holy Spirit we find where? Acts chapter 2. You're about to say that, right? Okay, so Acts chapter 2. So there you have the 20 mysteries of the Rosary. So getting back to the miraculous medal, Mary says, she appears to her a second time and says that she wanted this medal to be made. And on the back part, you have the 12 stars, which you just read, or just memorized, rather. And then there's a cross. And below the cross, what do you have below the cross? A big M, right? And that refers to John chapter 9, where Jesus is on the cross and says to Mary, "Woman, behold thy son, son, behold thy mother." In that moment, the beloved disciple took Mary into his house. So Mary becomes our universal mother there from the cross. Then you see two other things in the middle, two hearts. One heart has thorns around it, and the other one has a sword that's piercing it. What would that be?
Jesus and Mary's heart.
Which one would be Mary's?
The thorn.
Okay. And then the thorns?
Yes.
So it's the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Sorrowful Heart of Mary, right? So in that medal, you have some of the key Marian truths. The Immaculate Conception, Mary as our Divine Mother, okay? Then you've got devotion to the Sacred Heart and the Immaculate Heart. So it's a good idea to have the scapula, but also to have the miraculous medal. And so you're going to be wearing the scapula, okay? So when you get up in the morning, first thing you want to do is you want to say your act of consecration, that prayer. Okay, you're going to say the act of consecration, the prayer that we say at the end of the class. You say it, and then after that, you take your scapula and you kiss your scapula. And the church gives an indulgence every time you kiss the scapula. Do you know that? Partial indulgence is given every time you kiss the scapula. Then I have a private devotion. What I do is this. I'll take the scapula. Okay, so then I'll take the scapula. You listening, Marta? Okay. Now take the scapular and I'll go like this. 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 And I'll bless my tongue two times because I talk a lot. Then after that, I bless here. I kiss it again. So I bless my mind that I'll be able to live out, as St. Paul says, acquire a fresh way of thinking. And he says, put on the mind of Christ. Then he says, you have the mind of Christ. I love that. Put on the mind of Christ, then you have the mind of Christ. You who are an expert in grammar, what tense is put on the mind of Christ? You know? Jokester, but not good in grammar, huh? Is it the present, future, conditional, subjunctive, gerund, split infinitive? Hmm?
Imperative.
Imperative. You know what that means? What's imperative? Carla, you know, you're faking ignorance. It means it's an obligation. Okay, imperative means an obligation, right? So it's an obligation. It's imperative. It's not a condition. It's an obligation. God commands us to do it. It's imperative, isn't it? So St. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ, then you have the mind of Christ. When do you have the mind of Christ? Anthony? What? Yep, but even better. Diana? Más o menos. Matt? Oh, you're just yawning, okay? Holy Communion. When? Okay, you got it, okay. Holy Communion. How did you know? Okay, so Holy Communion, you receive, right, the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Christ, right? So when you receive Holy Communion, you receive the mind of Christ. Not metaphorically, but really, right? So you want a penetrating intellect. Holy Communion, yeah. Anyway, penetrating intellect. We'll have a good memory, good understanding, a good imagination, using it for the honor and glory of God. Receive Holy Communion fervently, with faith and with love, and you're going to find your mind is going to be transformed. Paul says, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, right? Transformation in Christ, right? So, then bless my eyes. Contemplate the beauty of God. Bless the tongue, so that from your tongue you're not going to be saying bad words, but you're going to be saying words that are edifying. Think before you speak. And then you bless your heart. Bless your heart. Years ago, sometimes the mothers, at least on the East Coast, if someone said a kid, 5 or 6, would say a bad word, the mother dragged the kid in the bathroom, opened up the mouth, and get a bar of soap and start to, oh. It wasn't very tasty, you know, but somewhat efficacious. Huh? But is it really the mouth that has to be cleansed? Not so much the mouth, but it has to be the heart. As Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? It's really the heart. I mean, what you say, what comes out of your lips, is really what you have in your heart. So if good things are in your heart, good things are going to be flowing out of your mouth, right? So you're wearing the scapula. Wear the scapula until you get to heaven. You know, you die wearing the scapula. Mary's going to say, well, welcome home. You got my garment on, huh? Did you ever read the life of St. Alphonsus? Maybe one day you will. One of the patrons of the Oblates. Your brother's probably an expert on Alphonsian spirituality, no? St. Alphonsus would, he would wear the scapula. Did you know that? He'd wear the scapula. Alphonsus had a lot of friends, but he had a lot of enemies, too. Opens up what happens with the saints. So he comes out one day to celebrate the Mass. And when he's celebrating the Mass, there's a guy hidden in the back of the church with a gun. And he shoots him. Where the bullet went? Right at his heart. Went through the chasuble, through the alb, through his religious habit, went through his church clergyman, went through his undershirt. And what happened was, it was embedded in his scapula and never touched his heart. Cool story, huh? Pretty symbolic, huh? Because that was the Blessed Mother was holding back that bullet so he wouldn't be killed. Right, Anna? Yeah. So Mary wants to protect us from the many bullets that are out there. Many spiritual bullets that are out there to knock us down. Okay, so you're going to get your scapular and make sure you always wear it. So you kiss it in the morning, kiss it in the evening. And do you know what scapular means? You're a Latin scholar. The word scapula. Scapula in Latin. You're a scholar in disguise. You know what? It means shoulder. Because you place it over your shoulder, that's what scapula means. No? So you wear it over your shoulder, but it looks like Mary's giving us a hug. Front and back, right? So Mary's giving us a hug and she's protecting us. So make sure that you always wear this scapula as a reminder. So you pray the prayer of consecration in the morning, and then pray it in the evening before you go to bed, or night before you go to bed. And wear it during the course of the day. And Mary will protect you in a very special way. Amen? Okay, what I'd like to do now is, with this, we'll go to the very last two pages of this because of lack of time, and we'll do the fill-ins, okay? Okay, this worksheet that we're going to be going through, part of it is pretty long, is I wrote a commentary on the third joyful mystery, which is the birth of our Lord, making a connection between the birth of Jesus and the Eucharist. Okay, can you see the connection there? Because when the priest celebrates the Mass, what's happening? Jesus is being born in his hands, right? Christmas is Jesus being born to Mary. So every Mass is kind of like a Christmas. And also, I wrote the word Bethlehem. Bethlehem, you know what that means? It means house of bread. Did you know that? Yeah. Bethlehem actually means house of bread. Can you translate the word Navidad, what that means? How about Natale in Italian? It's the same. How about Noel? That's a French, huh? The first Noel. It's interesting because Spanish you say Navidad, which in Italian is Natale, which means birth. In English we say Christmas. Christ Mass. Isn't that interesting? Christ Mass, the Mass of Christ. I like words. So when we celebrate Christmas, we're really celebrating the Mass, right? Jesus is born in the Mass, right? He's born in the hands of the priest, and then he says, the body of Christ, you say amen, he enters into your heart. Your heart becomes a little Bethlehem. Amen? Yeah. Your heart becomes a little Bethlehem. Okay, then one last point is we don't have enough time to go through all the apparitions. Just listen for another 3 minutes. The three most important Marian apparitions are Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima. Okay? You've heard of them? Guadalupe, Lourdes, and Fatima are the three most famous Marian-approved apparitions. And Our Lady appeared to Juan Diego in Guadalupe in the year 1531, right? And she appeared in France to Saint Bernadette in 1858. Is that right? Okay. And she appeared to the children of Fatima in 1917. Isn't that right? Okay. So every time she appeared, what did she request? John, do you know? Every time she appeared, three different places, she asked for the same thing. I'll give you an allusion, a hint. It refers to the Eucharist. What did Our Lady Guadalupe ask for? What did Our Lady Lourdes ask for? What did Our Lady Fatima ask for?
For a chapel to be built.
Perfect. You're going to say the same thing? Yes, in the Portuguese it would be the capilla, the chapel. To Our Lady, Our Lord's wanted the church to be built where you have the near the grotto, and then in Guadalupe she wanted the church to be built there over Tepeyac. What's the purpose of the church?
To receive the Eucharist.
Yes, celebrate Mass and to receive the Eucharist. So Mary wanted the church to be built so they could celebrate Mass and people could receive the body and blood of Christ. Got that? Yeah. So Mary always brings us into the church. Some people said, Mary separates us from Jesus. No, Mary brings us into the church. She brings us into the heart of Christ. So to love Mary is to love Christ. Love Christ and love God, the God the Father. Okay? Okay, so let's move to the... Let's move to the page 6. Look at that picture. I'm going to move to page 6. I'm sorry, page 5. Start on page 5? Does it start page 5, the fill-ins? Yeah, page 5. Look at that picture. Okay, so the first question, I think some of them have different ones, Belinda. I think they have this one. They look like they have a different one. Yeah.
There's like four different days.
Oh.
And they all...
Okay, could you just give them this one here?
Which one?
Okay, this one here, yeah.
The same old five.
Yeah, okay. Do you have one? Let's see.
This
This is the one that I'd like to fill in. They have it here. Yeah, but they don't have it, huh?
Week 3, day 1.
Okay, so week 3, day 1. You got that?
Yeah.
Week 3, day 1. Okay, there's a lot of material, okay? That week 3, day 1? There's some confusion, yeah.
Hang on, you're going to do it.
Because there's like, you see, different pies in each phone.
Yeah. Most of them have this, a few have some confusion. She's got a different one, maybe. Can you give her? Okay, so the first is this. Blank, the son of Mary. Okay, Jesus, the son of Mary, is truly and substantially present in the consecrated host. Jesus, the son of Mary, is truly and substantially present in the consecrated host. The Most Holy Eucharist is His body, blood, soul, and divinity. This is one of the central and most important mysteries of our Catholic faith. What's the word that Thomas Aquinas and Aristotle gives us? It's a long word, begins with T. You know it? Okay, good. So transubstantiation is the technical word that Thomas Aquinas has given to us. When you got the consecration of the bread, you got the transubstantiation, the exterior appearances appear to be bread and wine, but the substance is really the body and blood of Christ, right? Okay, number two. How interesting the name and place where Jesus will to be born, Bethlehem. The word from the language of Jesus, Aramaic, actually means... So Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay. It means house of bread. He who is born in the house of bread, Bethlehem, declared one of his titles. This is from John chapter 6. If you go to daily mass, we've been hearing this the whole week. And he said, I am... Carla? Andrea? You know it. I'm the bread of life, okay? I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. I'm the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. I often wonder, how can the Protestants interpret that symbolically? Doesn't it seem to be so clear? They say it's just a symbol. It's not a symbol. It's reality. Communion is not a symbol. It's really Jesus, right? Not a symbol. The human person has both... Diana? What? Good, body and soul. An undernourished body suffers physical malnutrition. An undernourished soul suffers spiritual malnutrition and can even die of spiritual anorexia. Do you know what anorexia is? You know what that is? Have you heard anorexia? Okay, can people get sick with that? Can they actually die with that? Yeah. It's a psychological sickness where they think, you know, really, really overweight, whereas it happens more in girls than boys, and often teenage girls. Remember, when I was your age, probably the most famous female voice in, you know, kind of good rock and roll music was, your mom and dad made me, they're too young, Karen Carpenter was her name, okay? Really good singer. You ever hear of Karen Carpenter? Yeah, very, probably the most beautiful woman's voice back in the 70s. And she's a beautiful girl. She thought she was fat. And she ate less and less and less. And she got skinny. And what happens is your stomach starts to shrink. And you can no longer get food in. She has to be fed intravenously. And then she died. She died of starvation. So see if you can see the parallel I'm making. What is spiritual anorexia? So you get physical anorexia, you're starving yourself to death. What about spiritual anorexia?
It's when you think you pray so much that you start praying less and less.
No, it's not really that.
Or when you...
It's related to the Eucharist world.
Yeah, when you stop going to Mass.
John, were you going to say that?
Well, I was going to say that sometimes outside pressure, like other people, can make you think you're being too holy and you want to go along with...
Okay, follow the crowd, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, but kind of like Aiden was saying, what were you going to say?
When you don't receive Holy Communion.
Yeah, the three of you are right with that. That puts the cream on the cake. You know, you go to church, maybe, but you don't receive Holy Communion. So your soul, you're starving your soul. Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty darn hot. Okay, yeah, maybe just you leave that open so... And I'm probably sweating more than they are. None of them have a black religious habit on except me. What's that?
There's a malfunction with the
EC. Oh, okay. Okay, just so you open the doors, yeah. We're going to pray that this will be your purgatory, okay? When you die, you'll be able to go right to heaven. Hey, how about that, huh? Tell God. We did our purgatory, you know, May 11th, so we're going to go to heaven right away, right? A good bargain? Yeah, have a good interpretation. Add that to your list of jokes, okay? Don't forget that one, okay? Yeah. That's okay. It's going to come in, yeah. Is that going to let the devils in, though? No, okay. We don't want to let the devils in, do we? No, keep them at bay, huh? Just hope they're not going to let the devils in, huh? Okay. We have arrived at number 5. Turn to Mary and beg her for the grace to have an ardent... Anna? Hunger and thirst. Is that dog going to come in now, you think? You got a hunger and thirst for a bone, right? Okay, hunger and thirst for Jesus, who is truly the bread of life. Here's your friend, John Thomas Aquinas, the great, huh? St. Thomas Aquinas states that one of the most important conditions for receiving Jesus well in Holy Communion is hunger and thirst for Him. Hunger and thirst for Him. Okay, 6. When Our Lady of Guadalupe appeared to St. Juan Diego, she insisted that he beg the bishop that a church be built over the site of the apparitions in Tepeyac. To honor Mary, but also so that people would go to the church to attend Mass and to receive what? Jesus in Holy Communion. Any of you ever been to Our Lady Guadalupe? None of you? Only just one. You know, maybe one day, maybe go with Mom and Dad, visit Our Lady Guadalupe. It's impressive, no? Have you been there?
I'm going in June.
Oh, great. Yeah, I think. It's a beautiful place to visit. You've been there also? I went about 10 years ago with a priest after Christmas. We made a little pilgrimage. You know what impressed me? I really like to be there to pray in front of Our Lady of Guadalupe, but we said Mass there, and during the Mass there was probably maybe 3,000 people. It wasn't packed. But what I noticed, there was only 300 people that received communion. And I kind of felt sad. Now, you want to go to Our Lady of Guadalupe, but you want to receive Holy Communion. Therefore, the rector of that church should really preach, you know, make sure you go to communion too. I was once there confessing for about 8 hours nonstop. People were coming and coming and coming and coming. And they had to close the church and said, Father, you got to get up. No, we got to close the church. There was just lines of people. But if we go to Mass, we should receive Holy Communion, right? What would happen if I had a birthday party and my mom prepared a really good meal, your favorite food? So I bless the meal, and there all you are, you're just looking at the food, you don't even, you know, take anything. And you insulted my mother, man. You're working so hard to prepare this meal, and you're just sniffing it like a dog. That's an insult, huh? Right? God, the same thing happens sometimes we go to church. People are just sitting there, in Spanish they call it caliente banca, you know? You're playing soccer, you're just a bench warmer. And you're second string, maybe third string, you can't even kick the ball. You're going to trip over the ball rather than kicking it. That's not a good player, are you? Or an auto goal, you knock the ball in for your team, huh? And we want to make sure that we really participate in Mass and receive communion with proper disposition, right? So lift up your mind and heart to Our Lady of Guadalupe and beg her for love. Beg her for love for the Mass and the Eucharist and for great desire to receive Jesus in Holy Communion. Our Lady of Lourdes appeared, did you know she appeared 18 times? Did you know that? You learned that today, right? 18 times to a little peasant girl, her name was Bernadette Soubirous. Similar to Mexico, Our Lady wanted a... what? A church? Okay, speaking like a New Yorker. I thought you were like, are you from New York? Wanted a church built in Lourdes, France, so that people would come for healing and nourishment. You ever talk with a New Yorker? A New Yorker has this type of accent. Once there was a story of a New Yorker, there was a boy in the catechism class, and the little boy was saying, sister, sister, look at the boy, look at the boy, look at the boy in the tree over there, sister, look at the boy, look at the boy. And the sister wanted him to speak proper English, and he said, Johnny, that's not a boy. He says, it certainly chipes like a boy. Got that? It's a New York accent for you, okay? Spiritually, healing comes about through reception of the sacrament of confession, okay? Nourishment comes about through reception of the most, go ahead, Holy Eucharist, right? On the tip of your tongue, right? Most Holy Eucharist in Holy Mass. Beg Our Lady for deeper faith in the real presence. Real presence. Of who? Of Jesus. In the Holy Mass. Holy Eucharist. In Holy Communion. Number 11. Our Lady appeared in Fatima 6 times to 3 young children, Lucia, Francisco, and Jacinta. However, of capital importance, in the year 1916, an angel appeared to the children 3 times. None of you ever read the Message of Fatima? Fascinating, because 1916, the third apparition, the three children are there, the angel appears in the air with the host and the chalice, and they're bowing down, worshiping, and the angel gets up and gives Lucia First Holy Communion. The angel gave her First Holy Communion, the host. Then Jacinta and Francisco drank from the chalice. You know, chalice symbolizes suffering. They're going to die in about 2 years. They're going to die when they're only about 10 years old, about the youngest saints in the Catholic Church. So the drinking of the chalice was a symbolic prophecy of their future suffering. And they're going to die when they're very small children and be taken to heaven. You're older than 10, so you can become a saint, huh? You want to become a saint? Más o menos, huh? No. You know, all of us can become saints. You don't want to become a saint? No? Kind of? No. Anna? Un poco? You want to be a saint? No. So who's in heaven, anyway? Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Mary, the angels, and the saints. So for you to go to heaven, you have to become a saint. I never thought of it that way, huh? Not sure. I'm losing a bit of logic. You're in heaven, you have to become a saint. Maybe not a canonized saint. That doesn't mean shot out of the cannon, no? The canon says shot of the cannon into heaven? No, it's not that way, no? Canonized means you're officially pronounced by the Pope to be in heaven. You might be an anonymous saint, but you have to be at least an anonymous saint. And Mary will help us. Okay, so the angel, okay, in the air were the host and the child. The angel gave the sacred... Marta? Host, right? You're about to say that, right? Gave the sacred host to Lucia. Then the angel proceeded to offer the toshi, the chalice. Pretty close, with the precious blood of who? Of Jesus. Precious blood of Jesus. Contained in it to both Francisco and Jacinta Marto. I'm pretty sure, but I have to verify this, maybe Google it in, but I'm pretty sure that Jacinta's body is incorrupt. You know what that means? You know, she died, I think it was 1920, which is almost 100 years ago. Her body's like yours, even though it's dead. It's not corrupting. Pretty sure she's one of the incorruptibles. One of the most extraordinary incorruptibles would be Anthony Padua. You know what happened to him? The greatest preachers in the Catholic Church. He died right around the time of St. Francis, and even to this day, his tongue is still incorrupt. He's known as the Hammer of the Heretics, a great preacher. Padre Pio is also incorrupt, some of these saints. In other words, their bodies do not undergo decomposition. God allows that as a miracle. Huh? The chalice in biblical language refers most often to the reality of suffering. What do you think? Is suffering good or bad? Tricky question, huh?
It depends what you do with it.
Exactly. Suffering can either make us... Aiden, it can either make us better or bitter, right? Make us either better or bitter. If we unite it to the cross of Christ, then we become better, right? But if we become angry, it actually makes us bitter. So the saints teach us not to waste suffering, but to unite our suffering to the cross of Christ. Got that? Okay. All right, now... Not too long after Lady Fatima appeared to the children, God would both take Francisco and Jacinta to where? Carla? To heaven. Good, to heaven. By early deaths. Most famous books after the Bible by Canvas is called The Imitation of Christ. Have you heard of it? The Imitation of Christ says this, it's not important a long life, but a holy life. These children, they lived a short life, but they're saints. They're canonized saints just a short time ago. Okay, finally, oh, two more to go. Our Lady also asked that a church be built that the people might be nourished always with the precious body and blood of her Son. Okay, number 15, Our Lady of the Eucharist, Our Lady of the Eucharist, grant me, Rex, hunger. Grant me hunger for Jesus, the bread of life, the only one who can truly satisfy the deepest hunger and thirst in my heart. Amen? So we're going to see our consecration to Mary, and then I think we've got an announcement or two. You got your at the consecration there? In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Prayer of consecration to Mary that we're going to be saying tomorrow. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Show my devotion to you. Consecrate to you this day my eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, my whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, Samuel, keep me in guard, proper possession. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay, thank God Nola's got an announcement. She's going to be giving you a very important sheet, so just pay attention for another 2 minutes. So thank you very much, and God bless you. And again, we'll see you then tomorrow, okay?
Thank you.